Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary of the Mary Gardner Show, and I am so excited that you're here with me today. We're going to have a lot of fun, and there's so many things that all of us are working on at any given time, and today we're going to attack something that's going to impact all of us. We're living kind of in a cray-cray world. I know we all know it. People are sick. People are trying to do, you know, get their business up and running. Lots of people becoming entrepreneurs, and something keeps getting in the way, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. And the question is, have you ever known exactly what you needed to do and still couldn't make yourself do it? Well, maybe you need to make a phone call or maybe start a business. Maybe you need to end an unhealthy relationship. We've all done that. Have a difficult decision, maybe walk in a room where you're intimidated, ask for an opportunity at work, change your habits, or finally take the first step towards the life that you really say that you want. But something stops you. And sometimes we call it procrastination. We call it exhaustion. We say that we're waiting for the right time, gathering more information, or trying everything to get perfectly organized before we start. But sometimes what we're really experiencing is fear. And fear does not always arrive dramatically. It doesn't always feel like a panic attack. Sometimes fear is very sophisticated. It distinguishes us itself as perfectionism, or it disguises itself as overthinking, and it becomes indecision, distraction, avoidance, defensiveness, or even self-sabotage. We sabotage our diets and then wonder why we don't feel well. We sabotage our businesses by refusing to make calls that we could create revenue for us. We sabotage relationships by shutting down, pushing people away, or refusing to say what needs to be said. And sometimes we're not even conscious that that fear is driving the car. But here is the encouraging news, that fear does not have to disappear before we begin moving. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the decision that makes something else, our purpose, our faith, our family, our future, is more important than remaining comfortable. My guest today knows a great deal about this subject. Tim S. Marshall is an award-winning author, entrepreneur, speaker, consultant, and the author of The Power of Breaking Fear. You can find it on Amazon and Audible. Tim and I have worked together several times, and he is what I call a get-it-done kind of person. He's quick on his feet. He understands business. He's built his life around helping people and moving beyond the fears that keep him stuck. Tim, welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. It's great to talk to you today.
Well, it's great to talk to you.
It's always fun to talk to you because you and I banter like crazy. We have so much that we're excited about and helping people. But before we get started about that, I really want to go and dig back into how you got started. I mean, you're a very successful speaker, trainer. You've written books. You do audio. You're helping so many people around the world. Tell us how you started to get into this, helping people get beyond the fear.
I mean, basically, to be transparent, it was just going through life as a teenager, just getting by. And what I was getting out of it was absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. I didn't like myself. Mm-hmm. I was struggling in school. Like, everyone has their own story, their own background when they're growing up and stuff. But mm-hmm. I had an issue with learning. It took me a long time to get into the pattern of trying to understand what studying was. Mm-hmm. And at an early age, I couldn't see, so I had to wear glasses. People made fun of me, so then I didn't wear the glasses. And then, hence, that led to me really not getting educated through most of my wow. teenage years. And eventually, I just dropped out of school. And I ended up with probably a third to fourth grade education at the age of 20.
Wow.
And the thing about it is that when you're in that situation... And I found this tape called The Strangest Secret by Earl Nightingale, and it said you become what you think about. And I listened to it over and over and over and over again.
Me too.
And this is where I literally had almost self-hatred for myself, and which a lot of people do, and they don't even realize it because they're in fear.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is you have to identify exactly where you're at. And I realized it's not so much about what you're thinking about per se, it's what you're not doing. And it's nobody's fault other than my own of not being aware of that. So I was at a situation where I really had to look ahead in my life and say, you know what? I'm not going anywhere.
Mm.
Where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
My friends were going away to college. I was so far behind. So then I had fear of self-doubt, fear of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
I had fear of social phobia. I had all kinds of different fears. But it was one day where I said, you know what? I haven't become what I thought about.
Mm.
I've become what I feared.
Mm.
And at the age of 20, I decided to take fear head on.
Wow.
And that's where I really started to make changes in my life. And it wasn't about like, oh, I just go to school, I go to college, which I enrolled in the community college. And that's where I learned that I was just so low on the pendulum compared to other people scholastically. And I had to make up a lot of classes. And that is a different type of fear, because there's multiple different type of fears in life.
Mm-hmm.
There could be the fear of, you know, jumping out of an airplane, which, you know, that's not my whole big thing, you know, of jumping out of airplanes and teaching people how to overcome those different fears.
Yeah.
But how do you overcome a fear that you really have to embrace it and you don't quit? You got to make up for whatever it is between your ears, what you think you can achieve. You got to be patient and incrementally move forward in life. And once you start to do that, you start to get the small wins.
Yeah.
So I started to, you know, I had to go into intro-level classes, and then I would get a C-minus, and then a C-plus, and then a C. But bottom line is this. I took all the education, which I didn't learn for years in high school, middle school, and some of my elementary school, and I got my bachelor's degree and compressed it all in less than 5 years.
Wow.
And that was a very euphoric moment, because at that very moment, when you truly overcome something, and it's typically between your ears, you break fear.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, it's euphoric. And this is what happens to a lot of people in life. It could be a multitude of different things where somebody feels like they're stuck in. They could be owned by a company. You know, they could be, you know, whatever it is, and think they're just stuck in life, and they're looking at other people achieving. They're making money, and why can't I make money?
Okay, what about the going back to, because, those mental things are plaguing all of us at just different points. You took freaking 5 years to catch up with your peers. 5 years is a long time to kind of be in that place where you're not anybody, you're not in your dreams. That took a lot of sustainability. How did you, in that time when you were building, did you just keep the goal ahead of you? Like, okay, I'm catching up. Is there any time there that you can say, no, I'm doing it, and you're gaining confidence?
Yeah, it was when I was like, because I'm not an A student. I'm not like the book smart guy, right? So it was like, when I got a C, it was a major victory.
Mm.
So then all of a sudden you start to build a little momentum, and then I got a B, and then I got an A. And then it turned out that mathematics, that was so hard for me, I became like a beautiful mind in math.
Oh.
And I got very good at it. And I went from intro math to tutoring and quantitative methods.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, so it's a stepping stone. But the bottom line is, you don't quit.
Yeah, yeah.
You never quit.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you circulate those thoughts with pure action, because I had probably well over 20 teachers tell me I should drop out of school, drop out of college classes.
Oh,
multiple, I mean, on and on and on and on.
How did you handle that when you knew you had a goal and you knew that you were taking these little tiny mini steps towards your goal, and a teacher who has authority and a leader potentially in your life is telling you you should quit? How did you have the courage
to keep going? Because I made a decision. And a decision is not just making a decision to jump in the pool. A decision, something like that, is a practice decision. You have to practice it daily.
Mm.
And then, yes, you have self-doubt in your own mind. You have the naysayers. You know, you're so far behind. You should drop out. You should do this. You should do that.
Wow.
But what it did is built up my resiliency.
Mm.
It built up my coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
It built up so much, even though I wasn't, you know, an A student, and that bar, when I did graduate, it's like a high jump. That bar is still shaking. That's how I barely graduated.
Wow.
And the irony of it, even my last semester, my industrial marketing teacher, and even my Salesforce management teacher, both of them said the same thing. whatever you do, don't go into marketing or outside sales. You're much too quiet. You lack presentation skills. I'm going to save you time.
Just get a
job in an office and sit behind a desk. You'll do fine. Because it looks like when you do your presentations, you're going to die, and your presentations are not the best.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is my last semester, so I'm like, oh, boy, I just went through all this, made up all that time. I got my bachelor's. I've got my associate's. And now I'm being told this, and I got a business degree. But that didn't, it wasn't like, well, let me get even and let me show you.
Yeah.
It was when I graduated, the only type of company that would hire me was a sales company.
Oh, my gosh.
And
best thing ever.
Yeah, and I got rejected many times even getting a job.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got this opportunity with this copier company selling copiers. And then I was turned down by this. It was a big corporation. They turned me down. And then I got another interview at a copier company, and I didn't even know what a copier was, really. And they hired me.
Wow.
Right? And then I overhear that there is a segment, there's a show called 2020 back, you know, this is 20, 25 years ago, whenever it was. And they said the hardest selling job in the country, or if not in the world, in sales is selling copiers.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, God, how did I get into this? And then I went away to training class, and I finished dead last in the country. It was a global company.
Oh, my goodness.
And lo and behold, they had a sales contest, and 6 months later...
Did you win?
I not only won, I broke the company record.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, hold that thought, because we're about ready to take a break. We're talking to Tim S. Marshall, the author of Power of Breaking Fear. You can find his audio tapes, on Audible. We're going to take a quick break right now and hear our sponsors. But we're going to be back in a minute with Tim S. Marshall on The Mary Gardner Show.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. It's Mary of The Mary Gardner Show, and I'm so glad that you're here today. We're talking about and tackling an issue that's plagued all of us. It's this little fear thing. We don't admit it a lot. Most of us walk around like we know what we are doing every step of the way. But if you think about all those things that stop you, if you're doing overthinking, you've got anxiety, you've got depression, these are little things and little triggers that'll help you. Really, what's underneath it is fear. So you got to figure out what that is. We're talking to author Tim S. Marshall. S as in Sam. Make sure that you go to timsmarshall.com, not Tim Marshall. And he's the author of The Power of Breaking Fear, which is a great audiobook. And you'll be able to help and get some of these techniques. We've been talking to Tim about how he was an underachiever all through school. He ended up going to college, and all the teachers told him, no, you shouldn't do this. Go get a desk job. You're a terrible salesperson, terrible presenter. However, they didn't know that Tim had the mentality that he would never stop. And so, Tim, you were telling us the story that you got the hardest job in the world. You got a job selling copiers, and then they had a contest, and you won. Tell us about that. How did you do that?
Yeah, I won. And the thing about it is you know, I want to make it clear when somebody takes something on, whether it's, you know, they have to play catch up or something that is terrifying to them, you're going to go through certain stages, and usually it's going to be rock bottom. You're going to have self-doubt. You're going to have depression. And if you don't quit, you're going to build up that momentum. So when I went into outside sales, yeah, I got my college degree, but I still had social phobia. I still had fear of rejection. I had all these different fears, and I'm like, oh, my God, now I have to present myself, and I was in a total state of fear. So back in the day, I was given a huge book, right, and it had all these business addresses on it. It didn't have any names. It didn't have anything other than the name of the corporation, or as a law firm, it was a medical, a technology company, whatever it is, and just a phone number. And I asked my manager, I'm like, well, how do I get leads? And he goes, here's a book, start calling, make your own leads.
That's like Wall Street.
And I'm like, oh, great. And then he goes, here's the script. So I take the script, I start reading it, make mm-hmm. the phone calls. Next thing you know, mm-hmm. I have people hanging up on me, snoring and saying, this is the worst script in the entire world. So then I started making calls. I made 300 phone calls a day, but I started to build up my communication skills.
Wow, yeah.
And then I realized I had a tremendous amount of fear of rejection, so mm-hmm. I'd call up potential customers and ask them to reject me. I'm like, do me a favor. I have all this fear of rejection, and I keep getting rejected. I could make 200 phone calls a day, and everybody rejects me. However, I work for this great company. I have this great product line. Can you help me?
Oh, you flipped the switch.
Next thing you know,
how powerful.
I get this, you know what? Yes. You know, why don't you come in? And I said, I promise I won't waste your time. And they're like,
gosh.
Well, what's your name? And then she's like, I got a bunch of cards from all these copier reps. Let me throw them all out, cross out their name, and I'll put your name on there.
Oh, my gosh.
Boom.
That's hysterical.
So that was it. So I went out there. The next thing you know, she referred me. And then I got referred to somebody else. Still made those calls, 300 calls a day. And sometimes I would say, listen, I'm on call 200, and this is at 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever it is. I get a hold of somebody and say, I can't go home until I set an appointment. This is the company. This is the product. This is everything. Can you just give me 10 minutes of your time?
Wow.
That's it. That's all I need.
Wow.
And then I would get the, oh, honey, yeah, you know, or it was a guy that would be, all right, brother, you know what, just come on in.
Yeah.
Just don't waste my time. And I say, I promise I won't waste your time. But here's the situation. I learned how to create relationships with strangers.
Mm.
And it was about, and I wrote a book called Be Yourself to Sell Anything, right?
Yeah.
So I became so good at it. I literally broke the company record for 10 years in a row across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico.
Wow.
So when somebody's quota was 40,000, I was doing 250 to half a million.
Oh, my gosh. By just being yourself and being authentic and sharing with them that you're struggling and can you help me? I love that as a strategy. It kind of sounds a little bit like my son and he was really struggling to get through high school because he was bored. And he said, oh, mom, don't worry. I'm going to make it. And he would call all the teachers mom and got their sympathy.
Yeah.
So any means necessary. It sounds like you got sympathy from people and in the beginning. And then they help teach you and help mentor you. What a genius concept. And that brought you to superstar stardom. Where did you go from sales after you're superstar? Did you start your own business? I know you've been a successful entrepreneur. And those are two things that people are absolutely fearful of the sales. Everybody hates. They don't see themselves as a salesperson. They see themselves as a producer, as a coach, as a whatever, you know, mentor, but they don't see themselves as a salesperson. And if you are an entrepreneur starting a business, you've got to have the sales. So they're kind of connected, right? The sales and entrepreneurship. Tell me your next step.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
Every single person in life is a salesperson.
Amen.
Whether they think so or they're not. Whether it's in a relationship, whether it's in a business, whether it's looking for a job, whether it's, you know, if you want to have friends, or whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah.
We're all in a type of sales.
Yeah.
In order to be a good entrepreneur, you have to know sales. And the thing about, like, yeah, I was a top salesperson, but I earned it. I earned and I tweaked it. I got better and better and better. I trial and errored it.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that we're communicating with, they're in sales too. So you got to make sure that you put yourself in their shoes and you have to understand what their needs are before your needs. People are so concerned about fulfilling their needs.
Yeah.
Well, what about the other person's needs?
Oh, sure.
So then I started to practice training other salespeople when I was in sales. For Toshiba,
cool. Okay.
I started to train everyone, right? Just so that I understood what it takes to train somebody, because once you're a great salesperson, that doesn't mean you can be a great entrepreneur.
Mm.
You have to learn how to teach, delegate, and inspect. So when I had this thought go through my mind, because I hit every single level in sales, I got bored with it.
Oh, yeah. I got bored in sales, too.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it became, and I'm going to transparently, it just became so easy for me.
For
and
sure.
I'm like, okay, what's next?
Same. I had the exact same feeling. Yep,
yep,
I know exactly. Yep.
Yep. What's the thought? The thought came in, right? Mm-hmm. So you do become a little bit what you think about. And I'm like, okay, it's time to start a company.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know the market was going to crash in 2008. And then, you know, there's 30 to 40% of a lot of our clients, my clients that went out of business, and I decided to start a company anyway.
All right. I want you to talk about that because that right now is where we are. A lot of people are starting companies. Businesses have really trimmed down the fat. AI is coming in. A lot of people are going to have to go out on their own, and they're facing the fact, especially people that are aging out, because so many of the younger people are better at technology. I think this conversation is really important. You actually had to start a business, and then the economy crashed. So we're kind of in that same place. Give me a step-by-step model.
Yeah, step-by-step model is the first thing is you have to know what you're going into business for. You have to be a master salesperson. You have to have the ability to create relationships with the people that potentially work for you. Mm-hmm. You can look and talk to other companies that are not in competition with you. Maybe it's in a different city. Maybe it's in a different state.
Mm.
Learn the formulas of what worked for these companies. Look for the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Communicate with other people, but you have to master the art of selling.
Yeah.
You have to master the art of training people. So when the market crashed, yes, I didn't borrow a single penny. I didn't use any of my own money, but I became so proficient at prospecting, building relationships with strangers, and I was moved into a territory I never sold in. So I was literally starting from scratch with a desk and a telephone, but I pre-sold customers and I let them know who I am. I built up my evidence over years of being in sales, so I built trust.
Okay.
So when I opened the doors, I had agreements that were signed already, and I was profitable from the very first day.
Whoa.
I was profitable every single month.
Wow.
To the point, and it's all organic, to the point that I made Inc. Magazine's list, Inc. 5000, 4 years in a row for massive growth.
Wow.
And I sold it in less than 5 years to a Japanese company called Konica Minolta.
Wow.
And they kept asking me, like, well, why do you want to sell this company? You're so profitable. You're growing so fast. You did this, did that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I cracked the code on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I scaled the business as well.
Wow.
And right now in our times, you're right. There's more entrepreneurs that are going out to start businesses.
Mm-hmm.
It's record-setting pace right now.
Yeah.
So if you're an entrepreneur, or if you want to be an entrepreneur, you have to become the sponge. You have to become that business. And the more that you take on that you can learn and earn, and it has to do with action, due diligence, and then you have to connect with other people.
Yeah.
You know, I've done so many different shows, people would ask me, is it ABC always be closing? No, it's always be connecting.
Ooh, and I like that.
Whatever,
that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whatever you think you can't do, you can do it. You just have to do it. You have to keep practicing it. And once again, you don't quit.
How do you get yourself up when you're like procrastinating and you're like doing, okay, wait, I'm going to go do my laundry, or I'm going to go to the gym and things I really have to get done. How do you get that real thing that's going to move the needle when you're like having this fear?
Well, sometimes, you know, you become so immobile that even picking up the remote is a big deal.
Okay.
So you pick up the remote, you turn on the TV, and then you do something else, you know, a little bit more. A little bit more,
okay.
A little bit more,
yeah.
A little bit more.
Little incremental
and
steps.
And that creates momentum, movement, opportunity, and measurement. The first three words is mom.
Oh my gosh. All right, we're talking to Tim S. Marshall. He is the author of The Power of Breaking Fear. Check it out on Audible. You're on The Mary Gardner Show. We are having an electric conversation about how you are going to make a lot of money doing sales and having your own business and surviving in this amazing, unpredictable society that we're in today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after you have a minute with our sponsors. This is The Mary Gardner Show.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to The Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. We are having a fun conversation with Tim S. Marshall. Tim and I have known each other for quite a while, and I'm telling you, he just lives and breathes success. And it's fun to have friends that you can look at and they're like, oh, he's doing it. You know, and then you wonder why your other friends just keep like falling, you know, never getting anywhere. So it's really exciting. If you look at your own life, are there areas of your life where you're consistent and you're doing great? You continue to build, you continue to learn, or are you spending a lot of time scrolling and spending a lot of time like wasting your time? And I find myself doing that a lot. Like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting time on other people and other people's problems when I got enough on my own? And so I just love these kind of conversations. If we could take what Tim is teaching us today and apply it to our own life and look at areas where maybe you need to move the needle a little bit and get yourself going and set some goals and make things happen. So Tim, it's been fun talking to you. I'm really interested about, so you were able to remove the fear early on in your career, and you saw that you had to learn new things to be a salesperson, new competencies, basically. You threw yourself out there vulnerable and said, I don't know what I'm doing. You told these potential clients and they said, hey, we'll help you out. You're a sweet guy. You sound really nice. You gave the stats about who you were representing and what it was. So you learned on the fly. Then when it came to the point where you were super salesman, you were ready to start a business. Now, a lot of people are starting businesses in our society right now. It's a scary thing, but they may need to do it, especially if you're aging out and working with a company. I personally have seen so many people get let go. You may call it ageism. Who cares? Whatever it is, they've got younger people that are having less demands on their financial. So they will pay them a little bit of money, and they're probably better at technology than we are at an older age. So, Tim, I want to know, after you were able to sell your business, that's kind of scary. You sold your own business because you were a superstar in the business also. And how did you feel, first of all, when you sold the business? Was it great? And then did you have to re-identify who you were in the marketplace? And how did you bring like purpose back to your life again?
Well, when I sold my company, they had an agreement, and the guy came, you know, the CEO of Konica came up and spoke to everybody. And the thing about selling a company is it's hard to, not just from the standpoint you got to do, you know, your massive amount of evidence of what you're getting, what the royalties are, what your products are, your revenues, all the other stuff that goes in, and you get in front of like a group of people, and then they all agree or disagree, and they all agreed to buy my company. But at the same time, I had employees that I trained that I really helped a lot. And when I brought my employees on, I took them on in a way that I was responsible not only for them, but their families. So yes, I sold it in less than 5 years, and the CEO got up in front of the company and said, listen, the bottom line is we could buy any company. We really purchased him.
Wow.
And they signed me on for 3 years. They gave me another company, not only, you know, my company I still had to run. They gave me another company that was in bankruptcy for 4 years. It was incorporated in 1969.
Wow.
They were struggling. It was a question if they were going to buy this company. The bottom line is they bought the company and they gave it to me. So now I have two companies.
Oh my.
And now I have something that I call a challenge. This business was really bad. And based on messaging, based on value, based on every single thing that I did in order to teach my sales people and other people, I incorporated it extremely fast in a new company, and I turned it around in 3 weeks. They haven't made profit in years, and they had consultants, they had this, they had that.
Wow.
We just changed the messaging across the board. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like a weakened company where the competition was basically saying lies and stuff like that. So I turned all the messaging around in a way that we just absolutely blew out the competition overnight.
Wow. So what industry that, was that? What was that, still in computers, tech? What was it?
Yeah, it's a combination of software, cybersecurity, copiers. It's very diversified, but it's based on messaging. It's taking one small seed, and you can literally create a forest over it.
Wow.
Because one customer knows three or four other customers, potential customers.
Wow.
And you keep going with that.
Okay.
And, you know, I that was an extremely good experience for me to know that I could just take something and turn around overnight, blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
But what really helped me out over the course of time with selling is every single company I went into, and I had thousands of customers, and I probably took over 500,000 notes, I really learned about each company, from a company like Citrix that's worldwide, or a, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Miami Dolphins, or just a small garage, a small entrepreneur. I learned from each and every experience. I took it in. So I literally became like an encyclopedia, like a computer, like a dictionary, like a math machine. So and this is somebody that literally struggled so much in every category of anything to do with education, and I just turned it into the next transition, which is writing The Power of Breaking Fear.
Yeah, that's your
point. And there's other, I mean, if you got 3 or 4 days, we can talk about a lot of other things, because I have so many different stories. That was a combination of Forrest Gump and The Beautiful Mind.
I love that.
I ended
that
up
so
in
great.
Different places around the world. I ended up in draft rooms. I ended up speaking at all these massive events.
Wow.
And, you know, people looked at me like I'm like Elvis. You know what I mean? I'm like, just a copier guy.
That's so
but
funny.
Bottom line is, you know, it just allowed me to experience so many different experiences. But each and every experience, I had to do what was uncomfortable. I had to educate myself, earn it. But the biggest thing is, if you want to become really successful, when you learn something, if you can teach it to somebody else, and they succeed, that's your success.
Yeah.
My books, I can say they're great, but you know what? It's other people, like The Power of Breaking Fear. People love that book because it's takeaways.
Mm.
You know, people have, you know, call me, oh my God, I've tripled my income. I've done this, I've done that, because it's all real.
That's so amazing.
It's not something I just read out of books and took a class and now I'm going to coach everyone.
Tell me about the Audible. Tell me about the Audible book. So
So the Audible book is really about, you know, taking certain sections. You got awareness, you got breaking fear. You have to, you know, open-mindedness. There's certain analogies about energy vampires, like social media. People can literally suck the life out of someone.
And it can be strangers, like you were saying, like social media. That could be, that's happened to so many people. And you can determine if you look on your Facebook, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, X, all those things, how much time you're spending on your phone. It's really...
It's 100%, and it's sad. Listen, I went to the airport a couple months ago, and I just looked, and I couldn't believe all the heads that were down.
Yeah.
From small kids, you know, teenagers, adults, older people, they're all looking at their cell phones. And I'm like, oh,
not
my gosh.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was very, very strict about through my career, I didn't watch the news a lot. I wasn't on social media. You know, as an influencer, I've been on TVs, I've spoken around the world, so I have to do certain things on social media.
Yeah.
But I keep it very, 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 very limited.
Yeah.
People get caught up in the scene, oh my God, she looks so incredible, or that business, or that guy's making so much money. And, you know, it's just, it's, your brain can only take so much.
That's so
true. We're human beings.
Oh my gosh.
You know,
yes.
Back in the day, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, whatever it may be, you know, we have certain fears to protect ourselves, our lives, our family, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Yeah.
Well, that has changed so much with just getting butchered with polarization of the media, politics, social media, everything.
Yeah.
What do you have left to give? So I really tried to take that out of my life so I could concentrate. And when I get a problem, I try to solve it immediately.
Oh,
because
my gosh,
if I let all the other toxic behavior around me, if I let other things influence me, guess what I have?
Yeah.
I have a bad attitude. I'm a victim. I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
I'm blaming everybody else.
Yep.
I can't do this. I can't do that. Look how great they're doing. I'm miserable. I'm depressed.
Yep.
I'm this. I'm that.
Yep.
I'm so angry driving around. Meanwhile, you're getting run off the road by every other driver now. So it, you know, there's got to be, this has to come to a conclusion. This has to come to an end where we start regrouping a little bit. Because you know what? In the 1500s, how did we come over here on a wooden ship and you had a 40% chance of making it over in the, you know, to the other side of the ocean with not even knowing what you're going to have. You don't have a cell phone. You don't have anything. Now that's fear.
Oh my gosh.
That's fear.
Yeah. And you're challenging people to get off, to stop, to get off of social media.
Stop.
Okay. So we
talked about a crisis. We all have, a crisis is something that you don't control. It's just the worst outcome out of something.
Right.
You can either live in the crisis, or you can problem solve it, and you have to have a finish line to it.
I love it.
And once you have a finish line to it, then you have certain problems you can solve. The problems, what people struggle with the most is what's between their ears, and they're trying to solve problems that have no solutions.
Oh, my
gosh.
That's
the biggest thing.
That is a problem. You have really simple solutions to very massive problems. I think you should consider politics is what my opinion is. But let me make a challenge to the audience right now is that Tim is challenging us to get off of social media. Look at all the people you're following. Is it really impacting your life? Is it moving the needle in your life? Are you making more money? Are you having better relationships? Are you in better health or better fitness? These are things. And also, mostly, are you having a better spiritual life, which is the foundation for all of our lives? We need that right now. And so I'm just challenging each and every one of us. Put the phone down. Listen to your radio, of course. Salem Media is a great place to listen. You could have that in the background, but you don't have to be watching it, holding that phone in your hand. All right, guys, we're talking to Tim S. Marshall. He is the author of The Power of Breaking Fear. You can find his information on Audible or on Amazon. And this is Mary Gardner. We're going to take a quick break to visit our amazing sponsors, and we're going to be right back talking to Tim S. Marshall.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner, and I am having this fun conversation with my friend Tim S. Marshall, and we've been talking about fear, and it's just one of those things that had me sitting here listening to Tim. I'm like, oh, yep, check. I didn't realize that was fear. It's procrastination. It's scrolling. It's like anxiety. All these things that we all just, you know, everybody's like got these mental illness problems right now. The country is filled of them. Almost, I think it's like 3/4 of people are on some type of anxiety medication. And if they would just put down their phone, which is causing us that, like, they have a better life, the grass is always greener on the other side. And so talking to Tim, he just challenged us to put the phone down because it's causing a lot of this. And social media has blown up so much. But how did we know that it was going to be such an energy sucker? And Tim, thank you. I mean, I have so many questions that I want to throw at you. You have handled everything like a pitch, you know, you're like pitching it out and you're catching it. You're home running every single time. It's amazing. So I want to go back to a couple of the quick little questions. Like, what's the biggest mistake that people make during the first 2 minutes of a sales conversation, and how can you convert people quickly?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to be yourself. Okay. You literally have to be yourself. And real quick, you know, being a president of a company or being a sales trainer, whatever it is, I have I communicate with somebody that's a salesperson. They go in to talk to the customer and I'm like, who is that person? You sound completely different. So be yourself. You know, look at what they have behind their desk. Look for commonalities, certain things you can identify, create that relationship, smile. And on a sales call, you know, people used to basically time me. I could close a sale in 1 minute or 2 minutes, and I'd get in front of a customer, and I would say, listen, I know you're getting hit up all the time. You've got all these different proposals. Why don't I do this? This is the company. This is the product. Here's our, you know, response time. Here's all the evidence or whatever it is. Why don't I save you time? I'll give you, you know, X amount, whatever it is. Here's your price point. The only thing I ask in return is if you can give me 3 referrals. And that's it. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to make a killing off of this. This saves you time. These are all the customers we work with. And do you know how many people actually come to me and say, thank you so much for not being a salesperson?
How many agreements
have I closed based off of that? Mm-hmm. And not only that, I got all these different referrals from them.
Okay. Wow.
They love that.
That's very powerful.
So many people that just oversell, and the insecurities will go away once you educate yourself and practice,
mm-hmm.
practice is lifelong.
Okay.
And you learn and you earn.
Mm.
And, you know, once again, best message wins, but it's about the customer's needs and not yours. If you can put yourself on the customer's truly mm-hmm. in the customer's shoes, you will earn their business. People subconsciously know who they can trust.
Wow. No, that's so great. It's so amazing. And I'm thinking about all these customers that I am attracting right now and working with. And I'm like, oh, I probably was a little desperate there. But how should someone follow up without being annoying and desperate? You want to come across as confident and get to the bottom line. And here's how I can help you. And here's the prices. But how do you follow up without being annoying and desperate?
The same thing. I'll call a customer and say, listen, I just want to be transparent with you. I don't want to call you 8,000 times. I'm sure you're going to have a bunch of people call you 8,000 times. Let's just go from point A to point B fast. Get this off your plate so you can concentrate on other things. And then, you know, you just say, why don't I come by at this certain time or do a Zoom call, whatever it is. We'll make it quick. Bottom line, most people are going to respond very well to that. If you lose, and this is also, you want to always have a certain amount of control in a sale.
Mm.
A lot of people just talk forever. They throw up whatever it is. They give the pricing too fast. And guess what they have? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They have no control. So even if you have to follow up, you have to follow up about something. Maybe you leave something out. Maybe you leave something out about the product or the competition or whatever it is. But you have to have a reason why you're calling. Other than, can I have the sale?
Mm-hmm.
You have to create something that's going to be compelling for the customer to be interested, mm-hmm. for them to react to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I love that. And that is true. You had said earlier, we're all selling all the time. Even when you're calling to talk to a friend, you want to be able to get to the bottom line, to bring value quickly. And so I know that sales is not limited to a sales department, because a leader is selling a vision. A parent is meeting a standard, helping selling a standard in their family. A candidate is selling his or her capability for a job interview. A spouse may be selling an idea about where to go to dinner. We're all selling, obviously. How can we learn to ask better questions to make somebody a better leader, spouse, friend, or parent?
I would, you know, I go right into the fear. What do you fear the most mm-hmm. about change? What do you fear mm-hmm. about, you know, you have to, no matter what, fear sells more than anything else that there is in society. Mm-hmm. People buy off of fear or don't buy off of fear. Mm-hmm. Kids don't do certain things off of fear or because of fear. Everything mm-hmm. is based off of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So once you start plucking away and taking those fears away, and it's the same thing if somebody really wants to personally grow, you have to track down what are your profounding fears that are holding you back, because mm-hmm. that's your mm-hmm. greatest goal mm-hmm. to achieve.
How do you find those? Do you have to go into your diary and into your prayer life and go to church and talk to your priest? I mean, how are we finding those fears if they're subconscious
habits?
Okay.
Habits.
Okay.
What are your habits?
Okay.
What, why are you on your phone so much? Why are you doing this? Why are you not doing this? Why are you exhausted? Why mm-hmm. are you depressed? Why mm-hmm. you start looking at certain things. You could go on your phone for maybe 2 hours and then all of a sudden you're depressed afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, there's fear in there.
Mm.
Maybe it's fear of comparison, fear
yeah,
of judgment,
right,
fear
right.
of not being good enough. So then you start tracking everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then once again, here's your pattern. You can be your own psychologist, literally, and break it down. And there's basically the basic principles. When somebody has awareness about themselves and or other people and circumstances, it always starts with awareness, 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 awareness.
Wow.
Awareness of where you want to go, what your fear, because fear is just everywhere right now.
Yeah.
The second thing is you have to have an open mind. Mm-hmm. You got to practice having an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
How many people say, but, well, I don't, I, you know, I did that. Or
yeah,
I did
making
that,
excuses.
Or, but.
Yep. Yep, excuses.
No excuses.
Oh my
if you're
gosh.
Not getting to where you need to go and you're not hitting your greatest goals, you're lacking awareness, you're lacking an open mind. And once you have an open mind, guess what you have? Then you have a plan of attack, which is action.
Oh my
then
gosh.
You put it into action. And once you practice that action and massive action, you will become the best at whatever it is. Like,
I
for example, I took on boxing in my 40s. you know, and my trainers are, they've trained professional boxers. They say, well, if you ever, you know, you got one of the strongest right hooks and jabs I've ever seen. You know what I mean? I can't move around like I did when I was younger, but it was based on specifically practicing the movement of it.
Oh,
it's
my
not
God.
Just because I'm strong or this and that. It's the same thing for golf. It's the same thing for sales. It's the same thing in life.
It's the same thing for anybody. Exactly. Exactly. No,
anybody.
This is amazing. This is so great. You're making me feel so convicted, Tim, but we're going to take a quick break and we're going to go to a segment called You Rock.
You rock. You rock. Woo! You rock.
Okay.
You rock.
Tim, I had a brother who passed away about 8 years ago, and Terry was my brother, and he had scoliosis and eventually had died of a heart attack. And he died knowing that life was short. And he also said, the most important thing that we do for each other is encourage each other. And he would always tell me that you rock, Mary, be happy. And so I do things that also, in addition to the action that we take, I try to make people happy. I try to encourage people. And so I have this segment. So today, the person I want to reach out to and tell that you rock is my son, Jeremy, and his girlfriend, Cassie. And I'm just so proud of both of you for the discipline that you guys are demonstrating. And you've been working so hard. You're applying yourself, you're doing well in your grades and in your jobs. And these things that are accomplishments don't just happen accidentally. They happen because of the daily decisions and the habits, like Tim said, that you're showing up and you're concentrating and you're persevering. And I hope you guys had a great time in Hawaii with your grandparents, Cassie. So love you both. You rock, both of you. And Tim, who's your rock person?
I got a couple different rock people. I've got an amazing wife. That has an open mind. She has awareness. She's kind. She gives. She expects nothing in return.
Aww.
And that's the greatest relationship you can have when
Amen.
You can communicate with somebody and not at them. And when it comes to relationships, you want to have the ability to identify with somebody. And I wrote a book called Relationship Slips with the Doctor. And one of the sections I left out is commonalities. It's really important to have commonalities with your friends, with your spouse, within a relationship. My dad lost his
We've only got 1 minute left.
After 50 years, but you know what? He rocks because
yes.
he hasn't given up. He's working hard. He's training hard. He reads a giant book in 3 days. He's experiencing new things, and he hasn't given up, and he hasn't quit. And
well,
that's what life is all about.
Amen.
Don't quit.
Amen. Don't quit. All right, everybody. You've been listening to my friend Tim S. Marshall, who is the author of The Power of... Tell me the book again. What is it? The Power of Breaking Free of Fear?
No. The Power of Breaking Fear.
The Power of Breaking Fear, and it's on Audible. And we've had this amazing conversation today. And if you've been listening to us today, I hope that you're going to evaluate your life and look at things in your life that you can improve, that you want to move the needle. If you're spending too much time doing something that's sucking your energy dry and not allowing you to move forward, I encourage you to address that. Tim S. Marshall, take us out. What's your one last piece of advice for our audience today?
If it feels uncomfortable and if you can solve the problem, solve it. And always ask yourself, what's next?
What's next? What's next, everybody? You have been listening to The Mary Gardner Show. If you have any guest ideas for us, please let us know. We also love having wonderful sponsors, just like the one you've been listening to today. We love helping you in your business, in your strategy, in your speaking, and in your influence in the world. And most of all, we hope that you are doing your God-given purpose to help people, serving them in the best way that you absolutely can. So we ask you to visit marygardner.com and, of course, share our show with your friends. You again have been listening to The Mary Gardner Show with our wonderful guest, Tim S. Marshall. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful week. Thank you so much for your attention. And we look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you.